Wendy Cashmore. I come from New Zealand. Today I'm representing Seapora in this conversation. I'm one of the vice presidents of the organisation. In my day job, I work for a large science organisation operating out of New Zealand but internationally, and I lead the intellectual property and commercialisation of the varieties that they breed.
My name is Edgar Krieger. I'm the Secretary General of Seapora since now a little bit more than 15 years. My background is of a lawyer and business administration. I do it full-time for Seapora. We are very much focused on intellectual property protection.
You both represent the international community of breeders of asexually reproduced horticultural plants, also known as Seapora. Can you tell us a little bit about your mission as an organization?
The organization represents breeders of horticultural crops across a really broad spectrum, and again with a very international outlook. Horticultural crops tend to be vegetatively propagated, so fruit, ornamental types, things that might be produced as cut flowers, for instance. And they have a very long life, often as products, long breeding cycles, long production cycles, long market cycles. So we as an organisation work together to look at the business environment that those breeders are working in today. It's pretty fast moving, both in a legal sense and a commercial model sense. And as an organisation, we advocate for improvements in the law that we work with. And we also, within our membership, look to increase knowledge and information and learning about that operating environment. So we have quite an underpinning theme of education in our interactions, bringing people up to speed with what's going on and how they can engage more fully in the changes in that business.
Seapora has been established in 1961 with a focus on intellectual property. So we represent all the breeders mainly in questions of intellectual property around the globe. We are an advocacy group of people, so we advocate strong intellectual property rights for the crops of our breeders.
Your organization is a little bit different than a lot of groups that are here at the World Seed Congress. What brings you here?
We meet here many colleagues from the seed world, where we have a lot of common interests with. We work on intellectual property, and International Seed Federation also has one strong focus on intellectual property. So we meet decision makers from International Seed Federation and their members, so that we can discuss on a high level with them common topics and try to find common solutions for them.
And a real driver for that collaboration and interaction today is the innovation that's occurring across all of the breeding technologies that affect all of the seed-based crops and the horticultural vegetatively propagated crops. So we have some good drivers for that mutual thinking about how the world is changing and how we as organisations are going to engage with it.
Can you tell us a little bit about the main differences between seed-propagated varieties and vegetatively propagated varieties in terms of global IP protection and why those differences matter?
So in a simplistic sense, seed-based crops are planted on an annual basis and tend to be in a very broad-acre-style production model. By contrast, horticultural crops like Seapora represents, which are vegetatively propagated, tend to have quite a long product life cycle, maybe 6 or 8 years in production. For tree fruits, perennial crops like apples and pears, it might be more than 20 years. So the mindset of how we approach our businesses tends to be quite different. There's a more frequent sales model, a turnover that occurs in seed-based crops that frequently doesn't occur for perennial-based crops, because once you have the plant established, it can serve you well for a long time. So thinking about all of the intellectual property law that we can work within, whether it's specialised title holdings like plant variety rights or trademarks, or even the contractual terms that we might work with, the mindset again can be quite different. There are also many similarities. So the differences would be things like more rapid turnover of varieties, so perhaps a different thinking about the value of some of the long-term, more difficult-to-achieve legislative protections. You might make a business judgment that that's actually not so important. You might rely more on your brand in the seed world with rapid turnover of varieties underneath that. By contrast, in the perennial, the vegetatively propagated world, you want a strong protection for all levels of the value chain, and you want to preserve opportunity along that value chain using those tools. So having things that protection types that are flexible to engage with, that work well together in conjunction with each other, are very important for the vegetatively propagated crops.
Maybe I can add that vegetatively propagated crops are very easily propagated through to type, contrary to seed, where we have parental lines, which are often kept as a trade secret, so that the farmers don't get access to that. They work with hybrids, and which do not propagate that well. So this is one of the main reasons for Seopara existence, because it's so easy to propagate through to type an existing variety, so that the only protection against copying is IP protection versus natural or technical protection.
You mentioned there's also some similarities that your industry has with the seed propagated industry. What are some of those similarities?
So the breeding investment itself tends to be often a high cost enterprise and takes many years. Even in the circumstance where that Edgar just referenced, with the hybrid varieties being what is sold to farmers, the background development of the parents in a seed crop and the background development of the parents in a vegetatively propagated crop today can take as much science and research time as actually creating the cultivar that will ultimately go to the farmer. And there's a lot of quite high-tech knowledge and investment in equipment and know-how and time in those processes. So they both have a high demand for breeding investment. Once you've done that work, another similarity is that you want to be able to put that combined benefit of the genetic improvement you might have made into action in the market for the benefit of the value chain, everybody from the farmer, the seed producer to the farmer, through to the production model that might handle the harvested crop, right through to the consumer, whoever ultimately consumes the food or product that is made from those things. So we have a great consciousness, a similarity in that, about making sure that we bring value to the value chain, the production supply chains that we work with, and ultimately the end user. So in all of those things, it means we have a high commitment and a strong similarity together in ensuring that retention of that know-how, that innovation, is not unreasonably diluted or lost. You want to keep growing it, building on it, bringing it forward. And that's the basis for a lot of the common conversations that Edgar and I would have with our colleagues in the International Seed Federation.
Where we very much share similar or even equal interest is on the development of laws, because both the seed crops and the horticultural crops are based on plant variety rights, mainly in UPOV-style systems. So these rules or these laws govern both worlds, seed and vegetative propagated crops. So we have very similar equal interests in further development of these laws worldwide and the enforcement. Both groups of breeders suffer from infringement of their plant variety rights. So this is also an area where we work together, recently established in the Working Group on Enforcement in Seopara and the Working Group on Illegal Seed Practices in ISF. So there's a lot of common ground to work together.
You've been working with UPOV on some important issues that concern both your organization and others within the seed industry. One is the explanatory note on essentially derived varieties, also called EDVs, which in your opinion should be revised in order to guarantee incentives for breeders of initial varieties. Can you shed a little bit of light on this for us? What is the explanatory note? Can you explain that and why it's important for both you and the seed industry that we talk about revising it?
So explanatory notes are documents developed by UPOV and its members and observers, and with the aim at clarifying language in UPOV Act of 1978 and mainly 1991. You know, these acts sometimes have kind of political language rather than clear legal language, and there's room for interpretation, and these explanatory notes aim at giving guidance on the content of this language. So it's kind of soft law because it gives guidance both to UPOV members but also to newcomers who want to join UPOV, but also to judges who decide on disputes between parties. And on the basis of UPOV 1991, sometimes there, as I said, is room for improvement. So these explanatory notes aim at giving guidance. So they are of high importance for the industry. Our concern, especially with regard to the explanatory notes on EDV, is that it lacks a little bit of clarity, first thing. And second, it's gives the impression that it interprets the EDV concept in a very narrow way, which is not in the favor of breeders of traditional varieties. So we would like to see it a little bit more open and in favor of traditional breeders who develop initial varieties.
So how do you propose changing this for the better in a way that's collaborative and constructive for everybody involved?
We're feeling very positive and optimistic about the seminar that UPOV has proposed to hold in September this year. As Edgar has said, we believe, and we represent a lot of views that have come to form that belief, that the note is not as clear as it could be. And that could give rise to some unintended outcomes or consequences. As Edgar explained, the explanatory note becomes a real source document for a very wide range of users of the entire UPOV system. If it's not clear, then people can make assumptions around it, can interpret it in different ways, and sometimes that can cause a drift away from the action intention. What excites us about the seminar that UPOV's going to lead in September is that there's going to be a range of invited speakers from the industry, from breeders, coming from both the seed industry, from the vegetatively propagated horticultural industry, and from other groups who represent all of that spectrum as well. And we'll, between us, have the opportunity to illustrate perhaps how some of these things occur then in practice. So we'll be able to discuss in the seminar the kind of breeding technologies that we're working with today, how those interact in the different kinds of crops and what that gives results to, then how the law intersects with those things and perhaps how these interpretations are becoming blurred, unclear, open to these range of interpretations that are perhaps unintended. Again, the collaboration that Edgar pointed to that we're working with between Seapora and ISF on enforcement is helping us ourselves illustrate and bring forward examples of how some of the consequences for copying or making very minor changes using some of the new breeding techniques to traditionally bred or conventionally bred varieties is starting to impact on those businesses and in fact itself causing confusion in the market and also then causing confusion for those who are tasked with trying to manage the enforcement or the infringement of IP.
Now, speaking of meetings and seminars, your 2020 AGM is coming up in Morocco in April of next year. What do you have planned and what do you want people in the seed industry especially to know about it?
Now, we are excited to go to Morocco, to Marrakesh, in fact, next year. And our focus will be to the North African region and the region of South of Europe. Morocco is one of the key producers and main suppliers of fresh fruits and products to Europe. We will focus, as usual, on intellectual property protection, but not only on the North African region, but also on other main markets like China, United States, India, and the EU. There are a lot of developments, positive developments, some are negative. So we will focus, as usual, on intellectual property. This is also of key interest of seed people because, as I said, we are living both in the plant variety right world, and what we discuss is of high relevance for seed industry too. So welcome all of them to Marrakesh.
We're excited also about the broader opportunities always in that annual meeting for our members particularly. We'll have another of our Seapore Academy opportunities operating at that meeting. That's part of our teaching and coaching model now. We'll also be having a further enforcement seminar where we'll have real sharing of breeder-to-breeder experience of how are the things coming to pass in your world, which part of the world you're operating in, how have you resolved those, what can we learn from each other or brainstorm together that might, you know, help each other. And it's always such a good cross-sector collaborative platform. While we have a lot of people from the ornamental flower part of the world, ornamental production for aesthetic use, and then the big fruit crops and those things, we always find we get so much out of being together in these meetings and collaborating.
Look forward to it. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having us here.
Yes, thank you. It's been great to talk to you, Mark.